What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Bucky Dent. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2. Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Bond hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Barrett and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. The shot is thrown. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome back to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. It is the greatest day, in my opinion, opening day, Brian, and eternal spring has sprung, and it is baseball season.
I'm decked out. Once or twice a year, I bring out the 04 championship hat. Obviously, my wife and I in attendance on opening day. We last year was a no-go, but we've made every other one since 05. So.
And you're going?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. And
because last time we talked, you weren't sure about that.
Right, because they didn't give any information about how they were going to distribute tickets. It's only 4,500 or so seats. And then they came out after our last episode and said it's based on how long you've had your season tickets. And it goes back, the oldest season ticket holder had it back in 48.
Wow.
And we got ours in 05.
So well, I wonder when they first started selling season tickets.
I don't know. It's a really good question. So I was in the third tier of the pre-sale and I forgot about it. I got in it an hour late. And I went to the top best tickets available. It's nowhere near our regular season ticket spot, but it's right down by the pesky pole, which I'm psyched about, although the wind's going to be right in our face. And then an hour after I got those two tickets, it sold out. So I got really lucky because I literally forgot about it. Didn't set the alarm on my phone. So we're excited to go. I mean, I'm just curious about it. We'll do it in our next episode. Like, are you only allowed to go to certain concession spots? Are you not allowed to go to other parts of the stadium to say hello to people?
You gotta take some video snippets for us and stuff, and we can upload them in the next episode.
It's gonna be nice to be in Fenway without. I mean, it's nice to be near people you like, but it's nice to not have to be near people you don't like.
it's gonna be nice just to see some like baseball, like real baseball, not spring training. But you said you got the 2004. I busted out the last time the Yankees did the chip, 2009. It's got a little bit of miles on the tire.
It's so nice, though.
Yeah, it's nice. It works, and I break it out once in a while. I don't wear it a lot.
It's still big on you, which is a good thing.
Yeah, it's not. I haven't bulged it out yet. Haven't split the seams here on it. But
the question is, though, are either team going to be any good? And I think that the Yankees have some question marks, as we've discussed, as do the Red Sox. But for me, let's maybe start with, the rosters are set. What was interesting to you about what happened with the Yankees down toward the end of spring training?
Well, obviously, Voit getting hurt because, it looked like it was going to be a battle between Talkman and Bruce.
Well, it was. One of them would have been cut loose.
Cut loose, and now they both make it.
And how long is Voit out?
Well, they say until probably June, but you know how baseball injuries work. They'll put some calf's blood in his knee or something like that, and he'll be fine, But that is the biggest surprise, as of lately, coming down the stretch for the Yankees. And it's, Bruce was all the hype, but he hasn't really done anything. I mean, he really hasn't. So it's basically like the next best option because he's there. I think if you see come end of April, beginning of May, if Bruce is floundering, I don't think he's going to be around.
You think they'll just release him?
Well, they'll release him and they'll figure something out. You know what I mean? They're not. Do the Yankees need Jay Bruce? I mean, he's a left-handed bat, but I mean, at the worst case, I'm sure Talkman they could figure out how to play first base.
I think
if they
Bruce
had to.
Would be good to have on the bench in the postseason.
Right.
I don't think he's appealing to have during
all
the regular
season
if he's not starting, because wouldn't you rather, if you're platooning or whatever, wouldn't you rather get a young guy some ABs? I don't know.
Right.
I just feel like that's where your head should be.
So, long story short, he's going to have to perform to stay in the lineup, obviously. I don't think they're just going to there's going to be a ton of leeway where he can just, go out there and bat a buck 30.
Right.
But talking about batting a buck 30, El Gary Or like my, or we like to call him El Stinky. You know, there, again, a lot of hype out the gate with him. Three
that
home
happens
runs.
A lot with Yankees, though, right? I mean, and yeah, Red
no,
Sox.
No, I'm not just talking in general. Like, there's there was a lot of hype with him overall. But this spring, you know, he started off hot. Three home runs, right? And that's all he's gotten since. 45 at-bats, 9 hits, 4 runs, no doubles, 3 home runs, 4 RBIs, and 20 Ks and a 200 average. So he's pretty much right on pace for what he's been doing in the regular season the last couple years.
Right.
So again, you know, time to cut bait, I think.
What are you going to trade him?
No, you're not going to trade him because you gave him the contract. The time to cut bait was when you didn't extend him.
Right, so
and I extend him, but you didn't offer him the one-year deal.
So what's the rotation look like, though? Like,
The rotation, obviously, is Cole, who's looked Cole-esque, you know, this spring.
How has Kluber been? Because there's a lot of talk in Boston how the Red Sox wanted a second-year option. And that if they had gone 1 year, all the Red Sox had to do was bump it up like $1.5 million. They could have had him. Like, he easily could have been a Red Sox. So I'm curious how he's doing.
Yeah. So another one hot out of the gates of spring training and finishing off 13 innings, 10 hits, 4 earned runs, 7 walks, which is high, and 14 K. So a K per inning, basically. Not bad numbers, but, you know, you do something with the walks, I guess. You know, Cole had 18 innings and 3 walks.
Right. And Cole got seemingly better as the spring.
As it went. And again, Cole, as he's come to the Yankees, he's a victim of the home run. He gave up 3 home runs. So, I mean, he seems to be the guy who just likes to give up the solo shot or the 2-run shot.
Right.
And again, like going back to the walks, Herman, who's obviously a great spring, 13 innings, 9 hits, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, 17 K. So, again, like we talked about last episode, he's around the plate. He's not walking people. Montgomery, same thing, 3 walks, 10 innings, but only 1 earned run, 7 Ks. But he's, again, we said, the lefty.
Right. So, okay, so number 2 starter is?
Well, I guess you're going to – I would say performance-wise, Herman. I would say career-wise, Kluber.
But if Kluber's your 3 – then you're okay. I mean, I look at the Red Sox, and when you know during the week when they were projecting their they don't know if Eduardo Rodriguez is available. I mean, he went from the heart condition, COVID to the heart condition to a dead arm, seems to be recovered. You know, they have Nathan Eovaldi for opening day, and then you know Garrett Richards I think is in the third day, and then you know Martin Perez and Nick Pivetta. I mean, the Red Sox pitching to me like, and I want to talk about the Red Sox roster a little bit, but the Red Sox, I mean. They're going to hit. JD got better toward the end of spring training. I don't know if Bobby Dalbec can sustain it, but I think they're going to produce runs. The question
is, Kiki Hernandez is a good addition.
There's a bunch of, listen, they're deeper. Their 25 isn't bad.
Yeah, they're going to hit the ball.
The thing is that their 10th guy isn't that much better than their 25th guy. That's the problem. They're deeper, but they don't have a lot of great. But
they don't have that guy that they can really turn to.
But if JD gets off the mat a little bit and Bogarts does what he usually does and Devers, then you have you know a situation where if Dalbec produces, then other players are going to get decent pitches. To me, the biggest thing I watched during the spring is that Michael Chavis, who I like as a guy, I don't know really where he fits, but he hits 300, he's got an OPS over 1,000, he hits a half dozen home runs, and he gets optioned. You know, and so maybe that speaks to his lack of versatility in the field, but the bottom line is that he's pissed. And, you know, the Cora was trying to say that it's good that he's mad and so on and so forth, but if you hit 300 and hit a half dozen home runs in spring training and don't make the team, I'd be mad too.
Well, Jock Peterson hit 8 home runs. I think that was like the lead, right?
Right.
That's pretty respectable. 6 home runs.
Yeah, and he's not on the team, so he's got to go to Worcester. Can you believe that going from getting your back carried?
He got alternate sighted.
Yeah, I know. I can't even say it, right? I like to say just.
So he got the red tag in the locker. He didn't get Roger Dorn. He actually got the red tag.
So I think that if injuries, he's there for safety. But I mean, I feel like if he's not going to be on your team playing, you might have to move him. I don't know what to do with a guy like that who's major league ready, but doesn't necessarily fit in.
How old is he?
I mean, he's mid-20s. I mean, he's young.
Yeah, he's
super young.
You can deal him in a package or get something for him. You're not dealing Jay Bruce.
Right. And the other thing I want to talk about with the Reds, Chaim Bloom, this is his first real team, right? I mean, when he came to town, he had to deal with a bunch of problems. He had to trade Mookie Betts. He had to deal with Cora with all the news coming out of the Astros. So this is, you know, he wasn't able to make a big splash in free agency because I think that his first priority was to build some depth. But, you know, everyone outside of Boston has this team picked like to go coming fourth. You know, and in Boston, people are a little more optimistic.
They're going to finish in front of the Orioles. That's it.
Right, and that's not good. Right?
No, I mean, it's not.
And so I don't know what they need to change that, and I don't think they're going to beef up pitching through a trade or whatever unless they're close. So
yeah, well, we talked about that last episode. I mean, if they're close, they're going to do. The Red Sox have to do something.
But you have to. This is the one thing I want to say and get your take on. I know that a lot of times, actually, the Yankees have done it where they've started off a little weak and they've really come back. But I feel with the Red Sox that they don't need to be gangbusters out of the gate, but they can't be bad. You know, they have to be at least 500 in the first 30 games, in my opinion, for the season to be salvageable. Because if they come out of the gates poorly, I think it'll just cascade.
No Baltimore Orioles start. What year was that? Like 88 or something like that? And they started like 0-18
or something.
Yeah, that
was cringeworthy.
Yeah, it was terrible.
It's like watching Chris Davis at the plate. You know, like,
who's in the last year of his contract, I believe. So he'll ride off into the sunset, $125 million richer.
I mean, it's great for him that he made all that money, but you know how hard it is to must show up for work every day. I mean, he's obviously got nothing left, right? I mean,
it's like being a fish at the aquarium who all you ever do is just float on your back, but you don't die.
But you can't do anything.
And you got to just sit there and have people look at you all day and just floating on your back.
It's a tough metaphor.
Every once in a while, you get the little.
It's a tough metaphor.
Well, let's talk about something real quick on the Yankees roster. And this guy's floated to the top after a long journey. And talk about making the team. A non-roster invitee for the Yankees makes it Lucas Lutke. I think I spelled that right.
How do you spell it?
L-U-E-T-G-E. 34 years old, non-roster invitee. He was drafted in the 21st round by Milwaukee. Last played in the major leagues in 2015.
2015. So this is like the Daniel Bard of 2021.
So he was last played in the major leagues in 2015. He was drafted, I believe, in 2011. Or
34. So
34.
He didn't quit.
He didn't quit. His major league debut was 2012 with Seattle. And he was actually part of a six-pitcher no-hitter on June 8th, 2012, against the Dodgers.
So he had a good spring?
Great spring. 10 innings, 8 hits, 2 runs, 2 walks, 18 Ks. Left-hander, 1.74 ERA. Apparently he has an insane slider. They call it like a frisbee. Barely tops out at 90. And
he's a junk baller.
Junk baller, but like, you know, a glorified Jesse Orozco, I believe. You know, like can throw a little bit of a little bit harder.
So how does he make the team? Because like,
well, he makes the team because like Britton doesn't. Britton's hurt and right. Wilson's hurt.
Okay, because those guys tend to regress back to the mean. Like those guys can have like little pops, but I find that fundamentally, if that guy's had that kind of career, unless he's used in a super super perfect way, he'll end up being what he's always been.
Right.
I hate to say that because he's a human being and maybe he could change. But I mean, I wonder what it would take to get him to stick, or is he not a story anymore when those guys come back and he's gone? But maybe he can get some value and hook on somewhere else.
Yeah, and you also got to wonder, you know, where are those 10 innings? Is it one inning? Because you have to face one inning, I guess. You know, one inning against number 98, 99, you know, in 89. In the seventh inning of spring training? I don't know. I didn't go that
right
into it. But, I mean, 2 walks in 10 innings and 8 hits in 18 Ks. I mean, 18 Ks in 10 innings is impressive at the major league level. I don't care if it's a number 98 or 99. If you're this late in spring training, you're valued by a major league baseball team.
Well, it's even more impressive when he's not throwing 97. You know
exactly.
What I mean? I think that to strike guys out, you got to be kind of – you got to have some guile. You got to be sneaky.
Right.
And, you know, he'll be the classic face one hitter type thing. And get out of there, right?
I mean, well, they have to face 3 now. I mean, it's the rule in Major League Baseball. When you come in, you have to face 3 batters.
That's really a rule now?
Same as last year, yeah.
I didn't know they were keeping
none of that
rule.
None of that specialty crap anymore.
Really?
Yeah, that's the only rule that stuck. That and 7-inning no-hitter, double-headers.
That must kill the money ball guys.
7-inning double-headers, and then extra-inning guy starts on second base. No DH, no universal DH.
So any reliever has to come in and face 3 batters.
Yep.
So you can't lefty-lefty that much.
No. Which is, I mean, you know, it is what it is, but I guess, you know, they want the pace of play, obviously, to go faster. That's all it is. But then a guy comes in, faces 3 batters, gets shelled for 7 runs, and then the pace of play didn't get much quicker. But,
right.
You know, it is what it is.
That's a cool story. Yeah, in terms of, like, the Red Sox, I mean, I just don't – Bobby Dalbec is the one – that he's not.
They don't have a lawnmower, man.
I don't know. I mean, there's no special story that I'm really gravitating toward. I mean, I want to see if Verdugo can be really good, but I mean, Dalbec, I mean, he's the guy. If he can produce that kind of power during the regular season, I think it changes the whole lineup.
So he's the hype guy. Like, yes, he's absolutely the hype guy, the big rookie in camp that
was,
you know, he didn't have to earn that spot, right? He was basically said, you're going to be the first baseman.
Well, I mean, if he struggled, I think Chavis was going to be there. And I mean, Chavis, he was basically told he had to have a great spring, and he did. Dalbec just had a better one. And so
maybe the Yankees can get Chavis and play first base.
Maybe. I mean, I feel like he's not good enough.
Maybe.
I don't think he's good enough to help the Yankees. So, I mean, why would you
want him? Better than Jay Bruce, though.
Yeah, I guess so. But, I just think Dalbec, sometimes these guys, his spring training is so hard to read. I just wonder if he can produce that kind of power in the regular season, because then it just makes everything different. And obviously, J.D. Martinez was so bad last year. And I hate the fact that, you know, everyone says he gave up and didn't try. Like, I don't think
Major League Baseball players give up. You don't play baseball and play professional sports and give up.
Really, though? I mean,
I don't think.
Well, I don't know. A lot of people seem to mail it in certain circumstances. So I'm not saying maybe it was the video stuff that got him off. But the bottom line is that if he can come back and be good, I think that's a big story. But I want to revisit before we go, finish the episode. I mean, now that you've had the whole spring to watch, you know, we did sort of predictions. I mean, do you think the Yankees are any more or less in the driver's seat in that division than they were a month and a half ago, in your opinion?
I mean, obviously, I think, you know, the pitching, the fact that Taillon and Herman look really good, it all comes down to health. If these guys stay in the rotation and they pitch how they're supposed to, they'll be fine. Hopefully, Voit comes back. It all comes down to health. You know that. It's all that matters. If people are healthy, all these guys will perform within the window they're supposed to perform.
Well, the Red Sox haven't even named a closer yet, so we don't even really know.
Well, we got, you know, the one, your favorite closer.
No, so it's Chapman for sure.
Yeah.
And that is what it is. But I think that the Red Sox, I think everyone at the New York Post picked the Red Sox to finish fourth. I feel like they'll be better, but I don't see them winning more than 80 to 83 games. I just don't. So I'm excited to go to opening day. I'm going to go again in May, but I'm going to go because I want to go to the ballpark. I'm not as jacked up about this team as I probably should be.
Yeah, well, only time will tell. Another thing that time will tell is Francisco Lindor.
Oh, I want to talk about this. Yeah.
Yeah, because we talked last time about Mookie turning down $90 million, right? All right, now that we thought was ballsy. So this guy turns down $325
for 10 years.
Million, guaranteed.
And Pete Alonso comes out and says he's worth $400, and he says because he cares and because he works hard. And I was like, aren't those
everybody
minimum expectations?
They all care and work hard.
Yeah, he counted reportedly with 12 for $385, which would make him 39. The AAV, the annual average salary, would be actually lower, but he'd have the guarantee. I mean, again, this is all guaranteed, and he's got a self-imposed deadline for opening day to sign. And I just think that even if
on that term contract, the one he said,
he just said if he doesn't sign before opening day,
he's not going to talk.
Right.
Right. Okay. And so there's still room to negotiate between his ridiculous amount he wants and the ridiculous amount they offered.
Do you think he's worth it? I mean, we talk about bets. We talk about Trout. We talk about all these different guys.
Well, if you look at what everybody else is making, yes, right. So, but my question to you is, why in the world would he turn that kind of money down when a player like Fernando Tatis just signed basically, you know, a little bit, basically the same contract, right?
Right.
And knows what he's getting into. If he really wanted to play in New York, he would sign that contract. He'd be crazy not to.
It's either the agent or the union, right?
Or he just has a bigger ego than everyone thinks, or he's that kind of person like Mookie Betts, and he's saying, you know what? I'm gonna ride it roll on myself.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna be the first $400 million player.
So now he's locked in a corner, though. So he's not gonna take 325. So part of me is like, even if they knock it up to 335, would you take it if they gave him an extra million a year? Would that be enough?
I think
to do
he want.
It?
What did he say he wanted?
12,385. So you got to.
He
split
just
want, the difference.
He wants the DJ. He wants the longer years. He wants the more years.
I don't know why.
I just think it's crazy that you can sit there like that and turn that kind of money down with a straight face and just not. I'd be ripping my insides.
I'd be nervous stepping on the field
right
without that.
I mean,
deal.
That dude get hit by a bolt of lightning.
Yeah.
In a game in Kansas City, if they play there.
Once you sign it, they have to give you that money no matter what.
Right.
No matter what.
No matter what. And that's why they have insurance.
It's gutsy.
It's very gutsy. I mean, you know what? Listen.
Or is it stupid?
part of me wants to call him a jerk, but the other part of me is going to root for the guy and be like, you know what? Prove us all wrong.
Well, it'd be tragic.
Bet on yourself.
I wonder if he got insurance.
He got insurance?
I wonder. I mean, a lot of those athletes, they get insurance, right? I mean, they pay a premium to insure themselves.
He probably got insurance on his smile.
I don't know. I agree. Like, I don't know if it's arrogance, but I think it's not all him. I think that there...
No, it's definitely not all him, because you guys always got the puppeteers in the background who want to set precedence for the next puppet to come along.
That's right. It's always been that way.
It's always been that way. So you can't fault him, but, you know, at some point, some of these athletes have to be like, listen, guy, it's $325 million. I don't really care what your agenda is here. If I want to play in New York and play for the Mets, I'm going to take this money, right, and I'm going to bring them to a World Series with a pretty damn good team,
yeah,
that is built for the next 4 or 5 years. You know, and you know what? I mean, listen, is he worried that he's going to sign there and Jacob DeGrom is going to say, you know what, or we can't afford DeGrom and he's going to leave? I don't know. Maybe that's a worry. Well, Who knows?
Steve Cohen's Cohen, one of the richest guys
exactly
on the planet.
So I don't understand what the big deal is. I mean, Cohen actually went out on social media and asked, how much should I give this guy?
Right. I mean, I like the way he's owning
it's
and running
great.
The team. Yeah, I do. But I think that they have to find a way. I think that after the deal, I think Cohen needs a win with this. And so, and I think it's stupid to go 12 years. I think it's stupid to go 10. I think it's stupid to go 8. But that's the way the market is, right?
I'll tell you one thing. If the Mets win the World Series, man, he can write whatever check he wants.
Right. So I think they should bump 2 or 3 more million a year, get it to 345, 350, and just get out.
Yeah. Give him whatever for Tatis got.
And for Cohen, it doesn't matter. But I'd rather have Tatis than
oh, absolutely. Any day of the week. I mean, the one big thing about Lindor is a switch hitter. So, I mean, that's great.
No, it is good. But I think Tatis has a lot of that X factor. You can market the crap out of him
yeah.
in a way that...
Oh, like, San Diego is just licking their chops.
Well, Tatis is great. He could be a global star.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't think Lindor will ever be
way.
Like that.
Yeah, he's great, though. All right, I'm looking forward to it, man.
Opening
it's
day,
awesome.
I'll let you know how it goes. I'll give you some feedback. Maybe we'll get some B-roll for the YouTube part of the episode, just about what it looks like, what our seats were like, what it was like around us, whether they're going to ribbon off certain
whether
sections.
You're going to actually go to the game and the weather's going to be okay. Weather.
Well, supposedly it's going to be okay, fingers crossed.
Just, changeable forecast.
As long
Bob
as
Maxson.
It's not wet, I can handle cold. And I think I rock, paper, scissored with the missus, and I got the drive there, not the drive home. So I get to have a couple of cocktails. That's how way it's going to roll.
It's going to be a good time. I'm looking forward to it. So till the next one, check us out on wherever you get your podcast, on YouTube, and whoever you're rooting for, hopefully it's the Yankees and the Red Sox as you're watching our show. But Major League Baseball's back, baby.
He's John. I'm Brian. We'll see you next time.
I'm Dr. Hrini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.